We're in Yeshaya, Perek Ches, the end of Perek Ches, Pasuk Chof Beis. And the tribes, and the 10 tribes, Malchus Yisrael, they followed the Ovos and the Yidonim, the ways of summoning spirits from the dead, all types of idol worship, ways of black magic. But then they'll see it's unsuccessful. In Pasuk Chof Aleph it said, "Va'avar bo nikshe v'roiv." They'll go through the land troubled and hungry, and they'll see that all their idol worship doesn't gain them. "V'hoyah ki yira v'hiskatzav." When they'll be hungry and they'll get angry, "V'kilil b'malko." He'll curse his king, the person who was involved in these. And the Avodah Zarah, they'll curse their king, Uvei Lohov, and they'll curse their idols, Ufana Lamola. And he'll turn up to Hashem. And he'll realize the idol worship was nonsense. Pasuk Chof Beis. Vel Eretz Yabit. But he'll look to the ground. And even though he might have a fleeting realization that he has to rely on Hashem, they're still going to be relying on the kings. Rashi mentions they'll look to the king of Mitzrayim, and they'll figure maybe he could help them. Vel Eretz Yabit, he'll gaze around the land to see who can assist him. V'hine tzora. But there'll be misfortune. V'chashecha, in a darkness. M'uf tzuka. There'll be a weariness. Tzuka, from their distress. Va'afela menudach, and they'll be buffeted, they'll be thrown to the deep darkness, to the afela, to the darkness. It won't be successful. The Gemara learns out in Avodah Zarah, we've mentioned in a previous year, that it shows that even somebody who worships idols and comes to a realization that the idols don't help him, but unless he takes an action and he breaks his idol or he mutilates it or he does something, he can learn, he can look up to the skies, Ufana Lamola, he'll raise his eyes to Hashem. But Vel Eretz Yabi, after that inspiration passes, he's once again looking to the ground and he's back to his Avodah Zarahs and his previous way of life. But that's what's happening now in the 10, and Aseres HaShvatim in the 10 tribes. Kilo Muof. There won't be weariness. Lasher Mutzok Lo. To the enemy that's bringing about this distress. The enemy is attacking the Aseres HaShvatim. The enemy is the kingdom of Ashur. And they won't be weary. Ko'ei Sarishon, just like the first stage of the exile. The Malchus Yisrael was exiled in stages. Naphtali and Zvulun live near the Kinneret, near the lake, the Kinneret. And they were the first ones to be exiled. This happened in the 4th year of Ochaz. Ochaz was the king in Yehuda, and this was happening by the northern neighbor. But in the 4th year of Ochaz, Zvulun and Naphtali were exiled. Then there was a second stage. This happened in the 12th year of Ochaz, when their king was Hoshea, began rebelling against Ashur. And then Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Sheva Menashe were exiled. Those were the tribes that had wanted to live and did settle on the east bank, on the other side of the Yarden. The bulk of Klal Yisrael was between the Mediterranean and the Yarden. These tribes settled on the other side of the Yarden, and they were exiled earlier. The third stage is when Ashur would come and would exile everyone. This happened 9 years later in the 9th year of Hoshea, which is the 6th year of the king Chizkiyahu. So the Pasuk says, Kilo Muof, there won't be any weariness, Lasher Mutzak Lo, for the enemy Ashur that's bringing about this distress. Ko'es HaRishon, like the first stage of exile, Heikal Arza Zvulun, when the land of Zvulun was exiled and it was Heikal, it was an easy, quick, it wasn't a difficult conquest or an exile. Very easily he exiled the land of Zvulun and the land of Naphtali. And just like that early time, there'll be another stage of exile, which is when Reuven and Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh would be exiled. V'ho'achron hichbid. But there's going to be a later stage that's going to be heavier, it's going to be more difficult. And that's when the land is going to be totally emptied out. Some of Forshim translate hichbid as a machbeda, as a broom, to sweep out. It's like the land will be swept out, that there won't be any inhabitants. Derech Hayom, those that live near the sea, referring to the Yamash al Tiberia, which is the Kinneret, that's Zvulun in Naphtali. Eivor HaYarden, those that live on the other side of the Yarden, Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Galil HaGoyim, the region of the nations. Eretz Yisrael is called Galil HaGoyim because the Goyim all seem drawn to it. They all are drawn to it. Rashi brings down Shakol Misavim Lo, that the nations have a desire. Like we know before, Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, there were 31 kings. Every king had his base in Eretz Yisrael. And then he had his country elsewhere in the world. But they all wanted to have their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They knew that it was a special land. And Galil HaGoyim, all the nations were drawn to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore it's referring to the general area, the whatever was left from the 10 tribes. After the Derech Hayom and after the Eivor HaYarden, Galil HaGoyim, the region of the Goyim will totally be exiled. There's a Medrash that Abarbanel brings down that actually learns that Reuven and Gad went into exile first. It doesn't say Bo'es HaRishon, in the first time Zvulun and Naphtali were exiled. But it says Ko'es HaRishon, just like the early exile of Reuven and Gad in Chatzi Sheva Menashe, so too the land of Zvulun and Naphtali will be quickly and easily exiled. Whether we learn that Zvulun and Naphtali were first, and then Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Sheva Menashe, or Chatzi Sheva Menashe, and Reuven and Gad were first, and then came Zvulun and Naphtali. My Rebbe Rav Pam used to say, he gave a shmuz on Parshas Pikudei, when it talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu made an accounting, there were certain funds that he didn't remember offhand what had happened to the Elef, the missing money. And then he realized it was used for the Vavim, for the hooks. But over there he spoke about the fact that a person has to be very careful how he spends the money, and people shouldn't suspect those who have communal funds of Chas V'Shalom using it wrong. And when he spoke about it, he used to give a shmooze, and he quoted something that's relevant to what we're learning now. The Gemara mentions in many places that the idea of the Yisem Nekiyem Me'Hashem U'Mi'Yisrael, that a person has to make sure that he's clean, that not only does Hashem realize that he's innocent, but he's got to be careful that the people know that he is doing correctly. It's mentioned when the money was given for the karbanos, they had a room where they put the shkolim. It says the person who went in, Ein HaTorim Nichnos, the one who came to take the trumas halishka, to take those coins that would be spent on the karbanos, it says he didn't go in with a garment that had a hem, or like a cuff, because somebody might think that he slipped money into his cuff. Below the sandal, he couldn't be wearing a shoe, because maybe he's hiding money in his shoes. Below the sandal, or a sandal. Below the tefillin, He can't even go on wearing tefillin because somebody might suspect him of opening his tefillin and slipping in some money or something. He'll think it was a false pair of tefillin, and he'll open it up and he'll put in money for lo b'kameya, or he can't wear a certain amulet, a charm, which is a closed thing, but people might think he slipped money into it. Because if a person removed the coins from the Beis HaMikdash, if that was his job, this is a Mishnah in Shkolim Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. It says, Shema Yeyoni, the person might become poor, and people will say he pocketed money for himself, and that's why he was punished, that he became poor. Maybe he'll become wealthy, and people will say he became wealthy because he took the money. So it's a no-win situation. If he becomes poor, it's a punishment for stealing money. And if he's wealthy, it's because he stole money. People will suspect him, and therefore he had to be totally clear of any suspicion. The Tosefta elaborates even more that he constantly had to talk, that nobody should suspect that he put some money in his mouth, you know, but if he's constantly talking, he wouldn't be able to put some money in. And they checked his hair or his beard to make sure he didn't slip any money in there. It had to be totally above board that he shouldn't be suspected at all. And he brought down the Chassam Sofer in the Likutei Shailos and Tshuvos, Siman Nun Tes. And the Chassam Sofer writes as follows. Kol yomai hayisi mitzta'er al hamikra hazeh. My whole life I was pained by this pasuk. V'yisim nekiyem Hashemu miYisrael. That a person has to be innocent in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of the Jewish people. The Yoser Efshari Lotzes Yidei Shemayim, Harbe Yoser Milotzes Yidei Abrios. And the Chassam Sofer wrote, it's a lot easier to make sure you're innocent in the eyes of Hashem. But that people shouldn't suspect you're doing wrong is much more difficult. V'on Sheyoso Kosha Ma'od Ma'od, and a person's held much more responsible. The punishment for causing others to suspect oneself is a greater punishment. And he continues and he says, perhaps that's what the pasuk means. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. There's no such thing as a tzadik who's perfect. Everyone's got some sin. The Chassam Sofer says, I mean, he could say such a thing. What's so difficult? A guy can't live a perfect life. But he would understand the pasuk, a person can't be perfect, means to be above suspicion. And we know a person is obligated to cause others not to suspect them, and not to suspect them, that is what's so difficult. And why I mention this here is the next words of the Chassam Sofer. He says, Veineni kedai lahazkir avosteinu hakadoshim. I'm not worthy to even talk about our ancestors. You hear the humility and the correct attitude and the way we have to look at the earlier generations. He said, I'm not even worthy of mentioning them. Mikomakom Torahi. But it is Torah, we're expected to learn. V'chochechani, and it would seem to me, Bivnei God of Bnei Ruvain, that the children of God and Ruvain, who had told Moshe they wanted to settle on the east bank of the Yarden, Sha'afa Bisha'asu Shalahen, they did their job. L'nakus esatma mechashad, they did cleanse themselves from any suspicion. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what, do you want to stay on the east bank and you don't want to go fight? All of Klal Yisrael is going to begin a conquest and you're going to stay home. And they went and they joined the battle. And they led the troops. They were chalutzim. They were the ones who led the army. Mikomakum lo yotsu yidei chovas hamikra hazeh bishleimus. It could be they didn't totally fulfill what this pasuk requires. Ulefichach galu techila, and therefore could be they were exiled first. Moshe Rabbeinu suspected them that they didn't want to go fight, and that's why they wanted to stay on the east of the Yarden. And they did their best, and for 14 years they left their family and they went and they fought with Klal Yisrael, and they stayed until the land was divided up. But even so, as much as they did, there might be a suspicion that they were really doing it because they really wanted to stay on the east side, and maybe they were changing their mind now that Moshe Rabbeinu insisted that they go fight. There still might have been some suspicion. So we see in the Pasuk there were different stages, and from the Chassam Sofer, why a possible reason why Reuven and Gad were exiled before the rest. But that's what happened by the 10 tribes. Vo'achron hichbid, and the last wave of exiles, the third group, emptied out the country. Derech Hayom, those that were exiled that lived near the sea, near the Kinneret, it's called the Yam Tiberia. Aver HaYardin, those that lived on the other side of the Yardin, Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Galil HaGoyim, and all those that remained in northern Israel, in the Aseres HaShvatim, the region of all the nations where everyone wanted, all the Goyim wanted a peace, they were all exiled. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Tzadi Dalet, that's a blot that we'll be quoting a number of times today. The Pasuk says as follows, the Gemara says as follows. We learned that Sancheiriv was told in advance that he was supposed to come and he would conquer the land. We had at the beginning of, earlier in Perek Ches, we said the people, since they despise the gently flowing waters of the Shiloach, which refers, it's an analogy to the Malchus Beis David, they didn't want the gently flowing waters of Malchus Beis David, therefore they're going to get the powerful river of Ashur. It's that Mehanor Hoatsumim Voharabim, the king of Ashur, and he's going to go through Yehuda and flood the whole land. Atzavar Yagia, imagine this river reaching the neck, but he's going to, like, almost killing the person, almost destroying Klal Yisrael. He's going to flood the whole country. The Gemara is bothered if Sancheiriv was doing the right thing. And he was told that that was his job. Elamai Taima Yanish. Why was Sancheiriv punished that his army was wiped out? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Dalet Amid Beis. The Gemara answers, Novi Aseres HaShvotim Isnabi. The Novi said that he would destroy the Aseres HaShvotim. And he even went through Yehuda. But Iu Yoiv Daiti Al Kula Yerushalayim. But Sancheiriv had in mind he was going to capture Yerushalayim. And that was not part of his mission. You can go up to Yerushalayim, but he was not supposed to attack and lay siege to Yerushalayim. Bonavi v'amarle. So the Novi came to him and he said as follows. Our pasuk. Ki lo mu'of lasher mutzak lo. Which the simple meaning is, there won't be any weariness to the enemy that is causing this distress. But Amar Belozer Bar Berechya, Ein Nimsar Am Oyef BaTorah, a nation that's weary in Torah, will not be given over Biyad Mi HaMetziklo, to the enemy who's causing the distress. Ki Lo Muaf, a nation that's weary, that is so involved in Torah study, and expended all their energy learning. Such a nation that's weary from Torah will not be given over to the mutzak, the one that's causing the distress. The matzik, the one who's causing the distress. My, and what's the meaning of the next words? Ko'es harishon, like the first time. Heikal artsa zvulun, v'artsa naftoli, v'achron hichbid, derech hayom ever hayarding glil hagoyim. Lo Karishonin, what's going to happen now is not going to be like the earlier exiles, the earlier people, those in the 10 tribes. Shehekelu me'aleim ol Torah. They made the burden of Torah light and not important. And they didn't care that much about Torah study. Aval achronim shehechbidu aleim ol Torah. The achronim, the later ones, which we're going to say, the Gemara is darshening it, it's referring to Chizkiyo. The earlier ones, Heikal, Torah was light, it wasn't so important. They weren't as involved in Torah study. They were exiled. But Va'achron Yichbid, the last ones we're talking about, Chizkiyo treats the yoke of Torah as a heavy, a serious responsibility. Uru'uyim halalu lasus lahem neis. So they deserve a miracle, like the Ovrei Hayom, those that crossed the Yam Suf, Dorche De'ah, like the Derech Hayom, those who went through the Yam Suf, Aver HaYarden, those that crossed the Yarden in the times of Yoshua. And therefore, if Sancheirif turns back and he gives up his plans to capture Yerushalayim, he'll be okay. But if he's going to persist, and he's going to try to conquer Yerushalayim, Galil HaGoyim, he will become like, Galil could either mean like dung, like Golol. Or it can mean Galil HaGoyim will be like rolling around in disgrace. But Galil HaGoyim, Sancheirif will be destroyed. Nothing will come of it. The Marsha explains, a nation that's weary through Torah, She'oyef v'kocheish kocho al yidei ha-Torah. It's only right that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should fight their battle. A person's got a certain amount of strength. He's got a certain amount of energy. If he wants to devote it to fighting, so he can go and fight a war. And without Nisim, he's not going to win, but he can go and fight. But if he uses that energy to learn Torah, and he strains himself, and in the times of Chizkiyo, they were all learning in the Beis Medrash. And we can imagine as great as the mices you can hear about a tzaddik and about a gadol, the way they exert their effort in learning. They certainly did that in the times of Chizkiyo. And if somebody spends his energy like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight the battles. And therefore, they won't be given over to the ones that are causing distress. And the Marsha continues, they deserve a nes like those who crossed the Yam Suf, and like Yeshua when he crossed the Yarden. Meaning it should be a miracle that the whole world knows about. Kriyas Yam Suf, the whole world knew about it, the water split. And by the Yarden, the water piled high and everyone could see it from miles around. It was a publicized miracle. And what would happen with Sancheirif, that the 186,000 officers in his army and the whole army is wiped out, would become such a publicized miracle. Those who made themselves weary and toiled in Torah deserve the same kind of miracle. V'lokach hoya gamkein b'leil Pesach. And as the Marsha ends off, and therefore it also happened the night of Pesach, when we publicized the miracle of the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That was the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes, it looked like they were in the light. Things were good. They seemed to be successful. And then as we learned, V'hinei tzora v'chashecha, all of a sudden there's misfortune and darkness, mu'uf tzuka, the weariness of distress, v'afela menudach, they're thrown into the darkness. Things were light, and they were bright, and things looked good for them. And all of a sudden the enemy came, and they were thrust into darkness. The people in Yehuda now are in the exact opposite situation. They have Sancheirif's army surrounding them. In Perek Tes, Ha'om ha'holchim b'choshech, the nation that's going in darkness. Ro or Godol. All of a sudden they see a great light. Things looked like there was no future. Sancheirif, who conquered the whole world, was right outside their city. And all of a sudden they saw a great light. Sancheirif's army is going to be miraculously destroyed. A malach, an angel, is going to come the night of Pesach and wipe out the whole army. And all of a sudden, instead of being under siege and starving and feeling like they're going to be killed any moment, they'll die, all of a sudden they have a booty and plunder. Sancheirif's army brought the wealth from the nations he had conquered, from Cush and from Mitzrayim. So all of a sudden the army was wiped out and they left all their supplies. And there was a tremendous wealth. The nation that had been going in darkness, Ro or Godol, they saw a great light. It could also mean the nation that went in darkness and the times of Ochaz. He had locked up the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, he didn't allow the Beis HaMikdash. People were not allowed to go in. And now all of a sudden his son is the king, Chizkiyo, the great tzaddik, and Ro'or God. All of a sudden people could bask in the light of Torah and in Ruchnius, and they were able to once again learn Torah. Yoshvei Be'eretz Tzalmoves, those that dwelled in Be'eretz Tzalmoves, the land that was under the shadow of death. Again, they were in the darkness. Or Noga Aleihem, the light shone on them. Sometimes it's daytime, and a guy's in a dark cellar, and he's walking around in the dark. Such a person, if he comes out of the hole, he exits the room, he steps out into the sunshine, those that are walking in the darkness, the Malbim says, Ro or Gadol, they can exit and they'll see the great light. Sometimes a person's in such a difficult strait, such suffering, it's not just his personal problems, it's the whole world, the whole economy, the whole society. It's Yoshvei Be'eretz Tzalmoves, it's not just him. He's not the guy in the dark room. It's the whole land. It's the Eretz Tzalmoves. It's a land that's dark under the shadow of death. Such a person has to wait for the sunrise. And even before you see the sun, or the light Noga Aleihem will shine on them, before the actual orb of the sun rises above the horizon, the first rays of light start to appear in the sky. Or Noga Aleihem, the light will shine on them. Here, Biso Hagoy, and now we're talking about Yehuda. The previous parak was talking about the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes. Here, Biso Hagoy, you've made great this nation. That what's going to happen to Yehuda, what's going to happen to the people under Chizkiyo, is going to be a greatness that the whole world will realize. It could also mean here, Biso Hagoy, Goy possibly might mean Sancheiriv. That you've made Sancheiriv so great, and then by destroying Sancheiriv, Lo Hidalta HaSimcha, to Klal Yisrael, to Yehuda, Lo to Chizkiyo, we read it with a Vav, Lo to him, to Chizkiyo, Higdalta HaSimcha. You've made the joy increased. The word is written low with an aleph. And again, it's the Mefarshim say you can interpret it Lo Higdalta HaSimcha. With Sancheiriv. Loi, to him, to Chizkiyo, to Yehuda, to Yerushalayim, there'll be a great Simcha. But lo, to the 10 tribes who were exiled, there's no party, there's no simcha, it's with an aleph. Lo, there was no great simcha. And it could even mean, lo higdalta simcha. Yehuda had this tremendous simcha, but it's with an aleph because since the 10 tribes were destroyed, the simcha is not complete. Lo higdalta simcha could also mean, after Sancheiriv was wiped out, and after, we'll learn, Chizkiyo was deathly ill, and he was going to die, and he was miraculously healed, and he recovered. In fact, Hashem turned back the sun, and it was a visible miracle that the day the sun went backwards in the sky, as a sign when Chizkiyo was being healed. But at that point, in Yeshayi Lamed Tes, later on in Yeshaya, in Perek Lamed Tes, it says the king of Bavel sent messengers to Chizkiyo because he had heard how Chizkiyo was sick and Chizkiyo recovered, and Chizkiyo had a tremendous simcha. Here there were foreign nations sending their delegations to him, and he showed him everything that was in his treasure house, the silver and gold and the spices, and he showed him everything that he has. And Hashem held him to task, that why was he showing off and displaying in front of the king of Bavel all of his wealth? And Hashem said, you know all that wealth that you're proud of and you're showing off to Bavel, it's all going to be carried down to Bavel. It's all going to eventually be exiled. Not now, later on. But Bavel will end up destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and it'll all be exiled. At this point in history, lo higdalta simcha, lo with a vav, to Chizkiyo, you've increased his joy. It's written with an aleph, because Chizkiyo himself had a damper on that joy, because he was told that because he showed the wealth would eventually go to Bavel. But at the moment, there's a tremendous simcha. Somchu lefanecha, they rejoiced before you, kisimchas bakotzir, like the joy somebody has in the harvest. When he does the harvest, and he brings in the crop, and all those months of the growing season, he was worried what's going to happen, and now finally he does the kotzir, he cuts the grain, there's a tremendous joy. Kashir yogilu b'chalkom sholol, like they would rejoice when they divide spoils. That's the kind of simcha that Klal Yisrael is going to have now. The Targum says, Somchu lefanecha kesimchas bakotzir. They would rejoice before you like a victorious army that was able to mow down the enemy and just cut down the enemy like somebody would cut down grain. Kesimchas bakotzir is referring to like cutting down the enemy soldiers and having an easy victory. Somchu lefanecha kesimchas bakotzir. Kubi was referring again to this happened on Pesach, which is the time of the Ketzir Seorim. The barley was cut the night of the 16th. They cut the Omer, the 16th of Nisan at night. They cut the Omer, and then they would bring the korban in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was a tremendous simcha when we could bring that korban on behalf of Klal Yisrael. There was a whole procedure, and there was a whole gathering when they cut it. There was a simcha. And now they were surrounded, they were in Yerushalayim, they were surrounded by the enemy. They couldn't normally have that simcha. For when Sancheirav's army is wiped out, and it's on that night, the night of the 16th of Nisan, Somchu lefanecha, they had a simcha before you, kesimchas bakotzir, like the normal simcha people have, when they would cut that Omer for the offering. Kashir Yogilu, and Yogilu is the Malbim explains, simcha is a constant joy. And gila, to exult, gila means somebody has a certain spike or a certain jump in his excitement and in his happiness. It's something sudden. When somebody does the harvest, he knows that it's coming. He's been watching this crop. He's looking forward for the day. He's hoping nothing should mar the occasion. There shouldn't be a sudden rainstorm that's going to make the grain all damp, or there shouldn't be a sudden locust, or nothing should happen, but he knows he's got the crops, and he has a simcha that now he's going to cut it. And then there's kashir yogilu. There's that certain that spike in excitement, that sudden joy, the gila, to exult, b'chalkom sholol, when all of a sudden an army is conquered, and people suddenly realize there's a lot of spoils. It belonged to the enemy. They didn't have it. They didn't know exactly what they're getting. And all of a sudden, now they're able to divide the spoils. And that's the simcha that they'll have when Sancheirav's army is wiped out. The Maisa of Gidon, which is mentioned in Sefer Shoftim, one of the early Shoftim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael in the times of the judges, was Gidon. And he also was victorious over the enemy, over Midian, and it also happened on Pesach. And it mentions in Perek Zion, in Shoftim, Vayobo Gidon, Gidon wanted to know a sign that he would be successful. And Gidon came, v'nei ish mesaper l'riyehu chalom. He heard one person telling another a dream. One of the goyim, one of those from Midian. And he said, v'nei chalom chalamti, I had a dream, v'nei tzli alechem sa'orim. There's a roasted barley bread, mishapech v'machanei Midian, and it's rolling in the camp of Midian. And that was a sign. Vayanre Eyu Vayomer, the other man in Midian, said, Einzos Biltim Cherev Gidon. It's a sign. The rolling barley means because the carbon Omer was brought from barley. And if it's rolling through the camp of Midian, that means Klal Yisrael that brings the carbon Omer, Gidon, who is their general, will roll through the camp and will conquer Midian. And we're going to mention Midian in a moment, in Pasuk Gimel. But this Nes that's happening now with Sancheirav, that Sancheirav will be wiped out, is like the Nes that happened with Midian. Ki es ol subolo, the yoke, subolo of its burden. Sometimes the yoke is put on an animal because the person wants to plow the field and needs to work the animal, and it's done for a positive purpose. Sometimes a guy has an animal and he figures this animal is too frisky and too jumpy, and he's got to get the animal used to calming down and bending its head and working. And the yoke is put there, subolo, to be a burden. And for Klal Yisrael, Sancheirav was like a yoke on them to be a burden. It was a yoke that there were taxes and there were tributes that had to be paid to Sancheirav to leave them in peace. But now that yoke of Sancheirav, ve'is matei shichmo, the staff that's on its shoulder, and the Malbim learns it can mean that the person walking next to the animal, when he cares about the animal, sometimes the man will lift up the yoke a little, that it shouldn't be so heavy on his beast, on the ox. And sometimes if the person's cruel or he wants to make the animal feel the weight, he'll press down on the yoke. The mate shichmo, that stick, or the person who's tilting shichmo, the shoulder of the animal. But over here, what's placing the heavy yoke on Klal Yisrael? Shevet hanoges bo, the rod that's oppressing them. Hachitosa, you've broken Kiyom Midian. You smashed them like on the day of Midian. That just like Midian was wiped out on Pesach, Gidon won the war, so too, Sancheirav is going to be destroyed on Pesach. And there's the old subolo, the yoke of the taxes and the tributes. There's the mate shichmo, the one who stands next to those taxes, who stands next to the animal and presses down. That's Sancheirav. There's the stick that beats them, the army of Sancheirav. And they're all wiped out. Hachitosa kiyom Midian, you've smashed them like on the day of Midian. Kichol se'on so'ein barash. It's a difficult expression to translate. Here the arts girl translates it. The tumultuous battles are fought with an uproar. Sa'on is a tumult, a noise. Kichol sa'on. All of the tumultuous battles, so'ein barash, are noisy with an uproar. There's always a noise. The Mephoshim learn it to mean that Sancheirav was wiped out, like Midian was wiped out. And their joy is like the joy, kisimchas bakotzir, of cutting the harvest. Cutting the harvest has an advantage, that it's not dangerous. People do it, they don't get hurt by the machinery. You can cut the harvest, it's a safe occupation. And then you'll have the grain. And then there's the chalkum shol, to divide up spoils, like in war. And that can give you a sudden excitement that you have all the spoils, but it's a dangerous occupation to be a soldier, to go to war. Here they're going to have both. They're going to have a simcha kesimchas bakotzir, like somebody harvesting, where they won't be in danger. The people in Yehuda will stay in Yerushalayim without doing anything in Yerushalayim. Just learning Torah and serving Hashem, placing their bitochen in Hashem. Like, it'll be as safe as doing a harvest. And the gila, the exaltation, will be like chalkom sholol, like you would divide spoils, which comes through war, and it's dangerous, but there's a much greater joy. And over here, they're going to have the best of both worlds. They're going to have the spoils of war without fighting. Kichol sa'on so'in barash. The normal thing is a tumultuous battle is fought with an uproar. V'simla megolola v'domim. And the clothing is dirtied with blood. Even the victor comes home with a dirty uniform. It's got blood probably spattered on it. V'hoysali sreifa. Some of Horsham even learned v'hoysali sreifa. The Targum mentions sometimes the garment is so bloodied and stained, they just got to burn the garment. It's not possible to clean. V'hoysali sreifa machol ha'esh. It has to get burned by fire. But over here, they're going to have it all without any uproar, without any dirty clothing, without anything being burnt. Hashem will take care and wipe out the army of Sanherib. Kichol sa'on so'in barash. All the tumult is with an uproar. The Malbim learns, Kichol sa'on, what would cause the tumult, and this army that struck panic and fear and shouts and yelling against the enemy, all of a sudden so'in barash. It's an internal turmoil. And whatever noise there is not them attacking the enemy, but it's their own army being wiped out. V'simla, they used to take like a red flag. And the red flag would be a sign that there's no quarter, whatever, everyone's going to be killed from the enemy. And now all of a sudden, v'simla, that red flag of Sancheirev's army, Megolol of the Dumim, was dirtied with their own blood, and they themselves were killed. V'hoysal Yisreifa. And they themselves would be like something burnt. Machol es esh, the army that used to consume as fire. Sancheirev's army was a burning fire against their enemies. And all of a sudden, they themselves would be burnt. Chazal learned, Kichol sa'on so'in barash. Again, the normal derech is, with a battle, there's an uproar. V'simla megolol v'domim, and the garments are dirtied with blood. V'hoysal yisreifa machol ha'esh. But the army of Sancheirev, there was no blood, there was no uproar. V'hoysal yisreifa, they were miraculously burnt, machol ha'esh, and consumed by fire. The Gemara has different explanations. One explanation is the bodies were burned. One explanation is just the neshama was burnt, like by Nadav and Aviyu. The bodies were perfectly intact, and just the neshama was burnt. But the army was miraculously wiped out. Without the war, without the danger, without the dirt of the exertion. You wonder why there's such a joy. Why is it a simchas bakotzir? Why is it a joy, yagilu b'chalkom shalol? Firstly, ki, es ol subolo. Because that yoke was broken, Sancheirev was no longer controlling the country. Ki, the second pasuk, is not only was Sancheirev destroyed, but he was destroyed in a way that no Jews were harmed, nobody was killed in Yerushalayim. There was no battle. And ki, the third pasuk that says the word ki, the great joy is it came about with a leader like Chizkiyo. Ki yelad yulad lanu, a son has been born to us. You can't really call Chizkiyo a son to Achaz HaRosha. His father was terrible. And yet he had a son like that. It's like he's not a son of the father. He's a son for us. Bein nitzan lanu, it's a son that's given to us. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew Klal Yisrael needed this special person. And everybody's born with their own talents and abilities. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Klal Yisrael needs a leader. And occasionally there have been tzaddikim and gedolim that come. And it's noticeable, all their contemporaries and those that are great themselves will tell you this person is like somebody who lived hundreds of years earlier. He's like from a different era. They can sense that his neshama is just so much greater. Now he still has free choice. There are some rishayim who have excelled in their wickedness. A person has his free choice. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what a person will choose. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person certain abilities. And Bein Nitan Lanu, Hashem gave us somebody with a potential. Somebody like a Chizkiyahu. And through him we would be saved. And that's another cause for the joy. But Tehiha Misra al Shichmo. The Misra, the dominion, the rulership, will be on his shoulders. He won't have on his shoulders the yoke of Sancheiriv. He'll have on his shoulders dominion, the ruling of Klal Yisrael. Or the Misra, to rule with Torah. The rulership of Torah will be resting on him. But he ha Misra al Shichmo, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Pasuk Chof Ches, Ochaz had a number of sons. And among the terribly wicked things he did is he put some of his sons through the fire to Molech. He killed some of his sons. Sent them to Molech. And he had a son, Chizkiyo. And that son he left alive. Such a wicked king agreed to leave this son, Chizkiyo, alive. Vatziha Misra al Shichmo. It could be his father, Ochaz. Willingly left over a son, Chizkiyo, to be the king. Vayikro Shmo. And his name was called. Now, there's different ways of explaining the next phrase. It could be, it's all referring to Chizkiyo. Vayikro Shmo. You want to know what Chizkiyo was called? He was called Pele. He was a wonder. That Chizkiyo was a wonder person. He was deathly ill. Besides the fact he was saved from Sancheiriv, he was deathly ill. He was going to die. And then we'll learn the story later, but he was miraculously recovered and he lived another 15 years. He was a wonder. He was Yoetz, somebody who was an advisor, meaning he was a great Chacham, he was great in his Torah knowledge, and he could advise people. Kale. Here, if it's referring to a person, it's like in the Torah we have, Adhu Elohim Yovo Devar Shneim. The two litigants go to the judge. Of course, when we use that to refer to Hashem, we say Elohim. But the word can also mean judges. One explanation, Bekarav Elohim Yishvot. Simple meaning is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is among the judges. That's right. Right. So here also, it can mean he's being called El, he's being called a power as a judge. He's the ruler. Gibor. Chizkiyo is somebody who's mighty in his Torah. Gibor Kari, to do the Ratzon of Hashem. Avi, he's like a father with his compassion for Klal Yisrael. Ad, he's the one who brought us all the spoils. It says, Binyamin Zeev Yitrof Baboker Yochal Ad. Binyamin is like the wolf. In the morning he eats the spoils, referring to the fact Binyamin had the Beis HaMikdash, where they would divide up the korbanos, but Ad can mean spoils. And the spoils were brought to us through Chizkiyo. Or it can mean Aviad, he's like the father, he's the one, the patriarch of spoils, he's the one who brought us this wealth. Or Aviad, he's the one who ensured that Ad can mean forever, like Shochein Ad. Aviad, he's the one who kept the Malchus, the rulership. He's like the father forever. He's the one who kept Malchus Beis David going. Sar, he's the officer. He's the leader, the great one in Klal Yisrael. Shalom, and there was peace in his days. And again, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and Af Tzadi Dalid, the Gemara says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yovo Chizkiyo Sheyesh Lo Shmona Shemos. Let Chizkiyo come who has eight names. V'yifrom Yisancheiriv Sheyesh Lo Shmona Shemos. And punish Sancheiriv, who had eight names. And when learning through Malachim or Divrei Hayomim, and you see the different kings of Ashur who came and they conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara explains the different names are all one person. And the different names are all referring to Sancheiriv, and he had eight names. A name is something, a way of identifying a person. Chizkiyahu had eight names means he excelled. He had eight qualities. And these are the eight qualities. Pele, Yoetz, El, Gibor, Avi, Ad, Sar, Shalom. That's one way of explaining the pasuk. It could also be referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayikra Shmo, Chizkiyahu was called. You know who named Chizkiyahu? Pele, the one who does wonders. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu did wonders by destroying Sancheiriv and healing Chizkiyahu and turning the sun back. Yoetz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one whose counsel remains. As we learned before, Utsu Eitz of Asufar, Davru Dover Velo Yokum, the Goyim make their Eitzes and it's not going to last. Atas Hashem Hisokum. Yoetz, Hashem is the one who gives the true advice, what will happen. Kael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here identified as Kael. Sancheiriv had a boast, and he said, Mi b'chol Elohei ha'artz erotzos asher hitzilu artzom miyodi. Which gods were able to save their land from me? Nobody could stop me. I conquered the whole world, and I can certainly get Yerushalayim. Kael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the power. Not like Sancheiriv who said, no Avodah Zorah, lahavdil, no Avodah Zorah could stop him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kael. Gibor, and Hashem is the one who's mighty and showed his Gevurah with the downfall of Sancheiriv. Avi Ad, he's the father, the one in control of Ad eternity. Like Shochen Ad, Marom V'Kadosh Shemo. Avi Ad, he's the leader, he's the one who controls time, he's the one who controls eternity. And he could see to it that Chizkiyahu's Malchus continues and that he lives another 15 years. Sar Shalom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Sar Shalom, the master, the one who has peace. And if the Pasuk is translating that way, Vayikra Shmo just means his name was called, like Ukra Shem Beveis Lechem. Make a name for yourself. Become great. Vayikra Shmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the name of this Yelad Yulad Lanu, this Bein Nitan Lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this person will be special. And all of the names are referring to Hashem. The way the Meforshim learn is all the names here are referring to Hashem except for the last word, Sar Shalom. The Malbim learns HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called all these names. When a person has a plan, sometimes he doesn't see it through. But it's because of one of three reasons. He had an idea, and then he has second thoughts. He realizes it's not such a good idea. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Pele Yoetz. He's a wondrous advisor. The Eitzes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have are not going to be changed, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best. He's Pele Yoetz, so he's not going to change the advice. Unless, obviously, we do tshuva, or the circumstances change. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what should happen in a situation, that will happen. Sometimes a person doesn't carry it through because he doesn't have the strength. That's what he would like to do, but he can't. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not an issue. Kael Gibor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mighty Kael, the God, the force. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel. He can do everything. Kael Gibor. Nothing's going to stop him from a lack of ability, Chas V'Shalom. And very often a person has the plans and he has the ability to do it, but he dies before he has the chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avi Ad, the one who is eternal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what's best, he's able to do it, and he's always here. He exists forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Chizkiyahu Sar Shalom. The one title for Chizkiyahu is Sar Shalom. He's the one, the master, who will bring peace to Klal Yisrael. They'll have peace in his days. Over here, Rashi, we mentioned in a previous parak, also with the Meforshim dealing with the missionaries, especially the Arbar Benel dealt with it at length. The Arbar Benel was in the 1400s. Here you have Rashi, who's in the 1100s, already mentions. He mentions that he points out a few times, he calls it, Lichuvas HaCholkin, again, they were very careful how they talked about it. They to answer those who might argue, and we understand it means the Christians. And he mentions, we'll see that all this is actually, he mentions it a little in this pasuk, that the tshuvas hacholkim, it's not like there was a child, a yelad yulad lanu, a child who might be called Kael Gibor, like a god or something like that. The pasuk has nothing to do like that. The simple meaning of the pasuk is there is a child who will be named by the Pele Yoetz Kael Gibor Avi Ad. This child will be named Tsar Shalom. Not the Chas V'Shalom, there's any human who could have such a title. Again, Chazal do darshan it, but in terms of those who want to misuse the Pasuk, you would tell them that the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk is, the first words are all referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could also be Pele Yoetz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the wondrous advisor who can produce a Chizkiyo from a father who's so wicked. Kael Gibor, who shows his gevura, his strength, to make such a Kiddush Hashem to wipe out the enemy. Avi Ad, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see to it that Malchus Beis David will exist forever. And Tsar Shalom will be peace. Lamar Be Hamisro. I'm just going to say the pasuk. We're going to go into it more next time. But Lamar Be Hamisro, this title, this greatness of Tsar Shalom, who's going to have this title? Who's going to have it? Lamar Be Hamisro, the one who is going to be great in his rulership, in his dominion. Ula Shalom Ein Keitz, the one who's going to have peace without limits. Al Kise David Val Mamlachto, on the throne of David and on the kingdom, Lahochinosa, he's going to prepare the Malchus, Lusada, and support it, B'mishparuvitztoka, through justice and righteousness. It's referring to the King Chizkiyo. Me'ata v'ad olam, from now and forever. Kinas Hashem Tzavokos Tasezos, the jealousy, the zealousness of Hashem will accomplish this. Kinos the Pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to tolerate anymore the Chil Hashem and the disgrace of what's happening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there's a leader like Chizkiyo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do everything to wipe out Sancheiriv and to bring the Kiddush Hashem to realize that Chizkiyo is the one sitting on the throne, on the Malchus Beis David, through the guidance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Up here. Yeah.